Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, everybody. Praise the good Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who reigns forever, and this is the one that we serve. Amen. He is the great I Am. And in this hour, people are choosing which God they're serving. And we've got to be strengthened in our spirit that we're going to be able, with the grace of God, to choose the right God. Because the beast sure is painting a pretty picture how he wants them to come over to the dark side. It's almost like a Star Wars thing going on. Come over, I am your father. You know. But the Lord is really encouraging us that he wants us to stay with him and to trust in him. What is the main theme that we hear every morning on these prayer calls? The main theme is that God says in all the different scriptures we've read, it's a recurring theme of God. Good morning. Good morning, sis. Good morning, everybody. It's a recurring theme of, if you will trust me, if you will make me your God, if you will put me first, this is where the miracles are. And this is what we are preparing for, is for the God of all ages, of all time, the master of all masters, to display himself. And what have we learned, bride? We have learned it's us. Come on, people. We have to drop that ideology that NAR wants to put out there, that it's only certain kingdom soldiers. No, it is anyone who will say yes. Anyone. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. No matter, you know, what you look like, what your economical status is, no matter what your titles are in this world, no matter what country you live in, any of that. The only thing that really holds you back from being all that God wants you to be is your own self. You got to listen to my sermon called The Power of Agreement. Maybe I'll just play that one morning here on the prayer call, because you've got to listen to that sermon, The Power of Agreement. Because you have to picture yourself that you got a demon on one side and an angel on the other. And the demon is saying, you can't do this. You cannot. You are just bound up in fear now. You know people are going to make fun of you, and they're going to mock you if you do that. Don't you dare step out, because you will be noticed. No. That's what the devil is telling people. You cannot survive on your own. You have to go back and resort to the things you was always familiar with whenever you was bound up in the world and in the forest, intertwined with all them other trees. And this is how you knew to survive, and this is how you're going to have to survive now. So you know you can't trust in God. You can't see him or touch him. Who do you think you are? You know, that's that old devil that talks in that ear and tells you you cannot. But then there's another voice, and the other voice says, trust in me. I will show you what a mighty God I am. You just got to say yes, and you got to come out of agreement with that poverty mentality. Come out of your agreement with this thing that tells you that you can never. You have to tell him to shut up. I'm not listening to you. I am going to trust the Lord. I'm going to follow the candle. I'm going to focus and focus. See, what I've learned over time is that every day is how you do this. See, in our mind, you know, we try to figure it out a week from now, 6 months from now. You know, this is why I had to rebuke that woman on band. who's going on there and complaining about, you know, all these problems in her life and worried about how she's going to pay her rent in April. And we've been hearing this for almost a year now. This woman has stressed out over that ever since. You know, how what's going to happen when her lease is up. And this is what I'm telling her. Listen here, woman. Your mouth is going to bring your curse. I've heard this for a year. Change your confession. You're going to have to believe that God is God or he's not God. This is how it is. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? The way that I give her wealth is with wisdom, teaching her that her understanding of who God is what's bringing this where she's at. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? When you understand that God is, he is. That's why his name is I Am. What do you need? I Am. You need provision? I Am. I Am your provider. Okay, I need a hug today. I Am your hug. I need somebody to watch over my kids for me. I Am your protector. I Am your guide. I Am your teacher. I Am your comforter. See? But if you're, and you get it all by living by the day. See, this is where people go off in there, and believe me, I had to learn myself. This is a long, hard process and trial I've been through to get to this revelation. So I'm not judging anybody, believe me, I'm not. Just hear me. But I'm telling you from wisdom that when you see all this ahead tomorrow and the enemy wants to put all this stress on you and stress you out over because of the lack that your natural eye sees, okay? It's not that it's not real. It's that what are you in agreement with? I'm in agreement that I have a God who knows what I need. I am trusting in him. So here's where the victory is. And this is a jewel for you to grab. Your victory is in your now. Now it is. Today, grabbing your today, being content where you're at today, being grateful, having a heart of gratitude. Where are you at today instead of stressing all the time of where you're going to be tomorrow? If you do that, you lose your blessing. And what you don't realize is as you live for him in the day, in the blessings of today, you honor him today. If you're living with somebody out of sin, kick them to the curb today. This is what I'm trying to tell you. See, people, the tomorrow thing is a lie. Take care of your sin today. Kick them to the curb. Listen, I'm living in sin. You ain't going to marry me. Get out. This, don't mess around with it. Don't flirt with it. Honor God and he will honor you. Or you leave. See, it's the act of today. It's the, I'm going to honor you today. You know, I'm not going to put this off tomorrow. I'm going to do this today because, see, this is where your victory is. So you choose. I'm choosing this day who I'm going to serve. So this day I'm going to honor you. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? So God has brought you to Washington, D.C. with $9 in a suitcase. And then you say, you wake up every morning, you don't know where you're going to sleep or how you're going to eat. You're just like, what do you want me to do? Okay, and then he tells you, okay, I want you to go to the White House. And I want you to drag that 75-pound luggage all the way around. The White House, which is like a mile long. It looks like a small building, but where their fence is like Fort Knox. And you every day you advance. Every day you go somewhere else, somewhere else, somewhere else. This. And what I mean is you're growing in the spirit. You live for today and give God your tomorrow, or you will lose your today. I'm really speaking to somebody out there. You got to trust God today. He's always going to be there tomorrow. Remember what I told you when I first arrived in Washington, D.C., and he gave me $150, a whole $150. And I said, whew, I'm going to get 3 days in the projects. Because I was thinking survival mode. 3 days in a, you know, the projects. And the Lord said, how much did I give you today? I said, $150. He said, that's the kind of hotel I want you to get. So he put me in a 5-star hotel. The next day, no money, 11 o'clock comes. Don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to stay there. What am I going to do? So I got to get out of this hotel like right now. I get a phone call, ma'am, do you have a hotel tonight? No. Our ministry is going to pay you 3 nights of the same quality of hotel. She paid 3 nights. Those 3 days were up. I get another phone call, ma'am, do you have a hotel? No. We're going to pay 3 weeks. At $200 a night, or $250, whatever it was, they paid him. That ministry did. Then after that, somebody paid a month. But the point is, I had to trust God by the daily. So I've learned, okay, today, Lord, I am thankful that I have a place to live. I am thankful that we have lights. I am thankful that we have internet today. I am thankful that I'm able to talk to these people across the world that I just love, love, love. I am thankful to have the best husband I could have ever dreamed of. I am thankful for the farm, for Garden of Eden Farm. I am thankful. See, I've got this heart and this attitude of I am grateful for what I have now, okay? Instead of stressing about what's over tomorrow. Because God, if he wants you to move or if he wants you to do something to be ready for tomorrow, he'll work it all out. You just enjoy the day. Okay, so that was a word for somebody. Don't stress over your tomorrow. Walk in holiness today. Do what you got to do to be right standing before God and man today. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Let God work out the kinks. Let God make your crooked path straight. Don't put off what you know to do. Do it. Okay, I'm going to talk to you guys about the crystal waters. This is going to be a very special broadcast today. When I traveled this country in 2017 for President Trump, and I traveled along the entire border, 36 states, 18,000 miles, on the Make America Godly Again tour, all by faith, you know. I've told you many stories about that tour. But when I went on that tour, the Lord told me there will be 6 cities you will go to that will be refuges. And I want you to prophesy over those cities. When you prophesy over those cities, I want you to take your shoes off. And I want you to say what I tell you to say. And I want you to touch the grass. So, one of those cities was Niagara Falls, New York. Now, the Lord told me when I left on the tour, he said, I want you to take a folder and I want you to put all of your ministry paperwork in there. I want you to take your passport, your birth certificate. He told me exactly what to bring on this tour. I had a car load of stuff that he told me to bring. I didn't understand why I needed a passport. What the world? I am traveling the border of the country. I'm concentrating on the United States of America in prayer. The whole trip was nothing but a trip of prayer. Of course, I interviewed Americans in all the different states and cities, you know, to find out what they thought about President Trump, which I feel like, you know, I got the first voice of the country, but I found out when I went to Columbus, Ohio, and by this time I had already been three-quarter way across the entire country, eating peanut butter and jelly, sleeping in the car, staying in people's houses. I mean, roughing it. I didn't have the revelation of what I did when I went to DC. I did what I had to do on the mission. Well, when I went to my son's house, I didn't have any money, and he had mercy on me and gave me $50. So I looked up, I knew my next destination because God had given me a dream that I was going to Niagara Falls, New York, and that I was to prophesy. This was one of those six cities, okay? And I looked up hotels in Niagara Falls that I could buy with $50. Okay, so I found one and I was so excited. So I put it in my map and I get on the road and I'm praying in tongues and enjoying my little self as I'm driving down the road. And I drive up to the border. I'm like, why am I at the border? Because I didn't know that Niagara Falls was on the border of Canada. So I drive up there, and the man, the guard at the gate, the border patrol, he looks at me and he goes, "Ma'am, why do you want to go into Canada?" I said, "Sir, I don't want to go into Canada." Yes, that's what I told him. I said, "I don't want to go into Canada, but my map took me here." I said, "Sir, I'm a minister of the living God, and he called me to travel across this country and to pray along the entire border. And I got a hotel, and the map is telling me I have to go there. So I guess Niagara Falls must be in Canada too." And he said, "Yes, it is. It's half in Canada and half in the United." I'm like, "Well, I didn't know it, so that's where my hotel is." "Ma'am, go over there to that building." So I had to get searched. I guess he thought I was loony. So those guys come out there. This was so embarrassing. Listen, it's like I was homeless, right? So I had everything you could think of in that car. It was a little bitty sports car, And they took all my junk out, laid it out in the parking lot. I'm so embarrassed, it's not the word, Some woman pulled it up to the Canada border with all this junk in her car, telling him, "I'm a minister of the living God," with no money or nothing, So they searched through all my stuff, and boy, they drilled me every which way but loose, wanting to know why I was there. And I told them, you can look on my Facebook. That's back when I was doing everything on Facebook. I said, "You can look on Facebook and see that I'm for real." And they looked. And so I had a, which my son gave me, to protect me, was one of those spray things you spray on people in case they attack you, So they took that. They thought I had a weapon on me. Anyways, that was funny. So I made it through the patrol, So I went to the hotel. Well, first I went over there to the lookout point, to where I could overlook the falls. I've never seen anything like this. I'm just a country girl from Nashville, obeying God in the craziest scenarios. So I didn't have any money, and I'm pulling in this place. And they wanted $20 to park. $20 is like $1 million, And so I pull in, and I couldn't park. And so you're having to, you know, there's so many, I mean, there's thousands of people there. And so I'm just driving through there. I was able to kind of see the falls, you know, from looking from the car. But I thought, well, I guess I'll just go to the hotel room. I'm done. I am literally done with this tour. That's what I was thinking. I am done. I am tired of this. So I go in there. I get in this hotel, this little dive hotel, you know. And I went live, and I was crying to the bride. I said, "Bride, I'm so done. I've been on this tour for, you know, I think it was like 4 months by then. I am just done. You know, God tells me I have to go down here and I have to prophesy this, and I don't even have $20. Now, see, y'all don't know how bad this is, because at this time, you know, I had just graduated with my master's degree, you know, 4 months before, and had studied in London, you know, under the top three global firms. I am a big dreamer, you know, type of deal. And this should not be happening to me. I should not be having to beg for $20, you know. I should be making $100 an hour. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm sitting there online, you know. They already think I'm crazy. And I've already, you know, been showing them, you know, all these different cities across the country or whatever. But now I'm telling them, I cannot even obey God. I don't even have $20 to park my car. I'm like, I'm done with this thing. You know, you would think God would give me, you know, a few thousand dollars to do this trip with, you know, instead of just having to trust him every single day. See, this is how I've learned about the daily trust. God put me in the boot camp to learn this. So the way I obey the Lord is I outsleek the devil. I got up at 4:00 in the morning, and I went down there before that place opened, and I parked in the government parking spot, and I walked over there in the early morning, and I got to see the falls all by myself out there. I got to have a really good, intimate prayer time with the Lord. And I looked in my book, which documents this occasion, the American Judgment book that I released in 2020 after I left the White House. And I'm going to read to you guys what I prophesied over the Niagara Falls, New York. And Dee, you'll probably enjoy this. This is close to you. But I want to read you this because this happened in 2017 before I read you the scripture that God gave me for you today. Okay? Okay, Niagara Falls, New York. This is God telling me in a dream what he wants me to proclaim. So this is what I said. God wanted me to declare that the cleansing waters from the throne are coming to the church to expose the sins and iniquities in the leadership. Corruption will be exposed. Judgment is coming to the house of the Lord. It will reveal the muddy waters from the throne, from one end of the nation to the other. A great fear of the Lord is coming to the church. God wants his bride without spot and wrinkle. The crystal clear waters from the throne will purify the church like a mighty rushing wind. It will become muddy waters as it flows off the cliff, as a mighty rushing wave is how the judgment will come to the church. It began with Hurricane Helene. That's what happened. The waters come off those mountains, remember? Pray for revival of purity and holiness coming from the throne of God. See, in Brock's book, he talks about heaven, and he saw the mountain in heaven, and he said it is huge. And God's like castle or throne is up there. And there's four literal bodies of water that comes out of that throne. And this is what it says here. It says, pray for revival and purity coming from the throne of God. So I guess the way I'm seeing this now, since I had that dream about the fiber for the cyber, and now it's all coming to, it's hitting us now. The judgment's hitting us now. I just remembered something else. Remember that dream I had 2 days before that hit Hurricane Helene? This is that judgment, bride. Because Hurricane Helene, remember I had this dream that I was at this resort. And I knew that these people had been warning me about the judgment coming and all this stuff, but I wouldn't listen because I wanted to be a part of the world. God let me see how people feel. And the water started coming in. And I'm like, well, it's okay. You know, I was making excuses as the waters rose because I didn't want to give up my worldly life. And although I knew what they were saying was right, I just didn't want to give it up. So the waters began to get around my waist, and now it ain't playing around. Now I'm having to focus on it. See, before I wasn't wanting to focus on the flooding because I wanted what I wanted worse. But when it was started gathering my attention where I had no choice, then I started thinking, oh, no, it's here. But by the time I realized that the judgment of God had come, it was too late. I was already being overtaken. And as the waters began to swirl me under and began to overtake me in this judgment, all I could think about was looking over to the right and seeing the Christians that had been warning me inside of a glass box. How this is, I don't know, but that's what I saw. And they were not touched by the waters. They were protected behind this glass. And the waters just overtook me. It was flipping me around like a rag doll. And all I could think of was the regret that I would not listen. Because I wanted that world so bad. And I would not listen to the warnings. 2 days later, Hurricane Helene hit. So now I'm looking at this prophecy a little different here. Because now all the exposures has begun at the house of the Lord. And I told you guys what God told me in that dream. And he said, do not defend yourself. God's whole point of the exposure, allowing it, we know it's the beast, but God's allowing it to happen, is that people will repent. This is why I was telling you we had to pray for Perry Stone, because it's in his house right now, but he's speaking death over himself, and that's not a good thing. So we prayed that that spirit of suicide would not have its way. And that's why I told you, do not push these people down, because we're in a very serious, see those, the crystal clear waters from the throne is hitting. So this is the way we should look at it, is that, you know, when it hits, the flood has hit us. So we're either going to jump into those crystal clear waters of repentance where we say, Lord, whatever I've done, I humbly ask you to forgive me. And whatever the enemy accuses you of, okay, like, remember what I said, sometimes you sin and you don't even realize you're sinning because you excuse it in your head. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And this could go with just about every situation, okay? But when the enemy gets a hold of it, it's not going to be that pretty. It's not going to be no justification of it. It's going to be an accusatory devil. So don't justify it anymore. When the accusations come, you go to God and you repent. Whatever it is, you nip that devil in the bud by repentance. So when you're praying for revival of purity and holiness coming from the throne of God, wash us, Lord. This right now, lift your hands. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we will jump in the crystal clear waters. That we will jump in, Lord, for you to cleanse us and purify us, Lord. We want to have a repentful heart before the throne. We want to be clean before your eyes. That is our biggest heart's desire, is to have your eyes upon us and leading us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. When I used to be in sin, and I knew I was in sin, I would have one foot in the church and one foot out, baby. I would be partying on Saturday night, living it up. You know, I was single, and I'm a dancer. You know, I love to dance. And so, you know, I kind of like that fellowship. And so I'd be in the bar tearing it up, you know, and then going to church and singing on Sunday. Well, the old Lord whipped me good over that, too. Because we have to be holy. We have to be holy before God and man. Okay, so I had to die, basically. Okay, so going back to the prophecy here. So this is God telling me what to pray at Niagara Falls, New York. So let's continue. Pray to remove the world out of the church who has been tainted, who has tainted the altars with the world. Remember I told you the story about that pastor I served, and he had a woman working in his youth group, and she was living with a man in sin, and she was a youth leader, and she would drive their youth church bus. So I was just serving the church, you know, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't in leadership or nothing. But I was away out of town, and the Lord came to me in a dream, and he told me, he said, I want you to send a letter to that pastor and warn him that he has to remove that woman from leadership. He has to, because pastors cannot have people in leadership that have sexual immorality, because if they do, they will muddy the waters of the throne. So anyway, so I sent him the letter, and I said, the Lord says you have to remove her out and until she gets her sins correct in her house, because what is in her house will hit your house. And that's what God said. You will see your granddaughters be swept up in that lustful devil if you do not remove her now. So I got back. I told y'all this story, but I got back to town. And I told him, I said, sir, I am sorry that I even had to send you this letter, because I honor you as a pastor, and I am not trying to make you mad or, you know, hurt your feelings. I just have to obey the Lord, you know. Man, I got back. It wasn't like that. He was so mad. I can't even tell you how mad he was. He blasted me an entire service in front of everybody in that church. He ridiculed me up one end, down the other. He blew me away in public. So I had to pay a price for giving it, but the word came forth a year later. His granddaughter was swept up with that lust. I visited the church, and there she was on the front row sitting with a man who looked like he could eat her alive in lust. And she was, that glory was gone. You could tell. And he knew that I saw what I saw. And that's why he didn't want me coming, but I still went. I saw it. But that's the price pastors will pay if we don't guard the gates of our, you know, leadership. Because what happens in the leadership will trickle down. And so that's what it says here. You have to remove that out. You have to keep your gates clean. As the mighty waters flow over this nation, it will flow over the hard clay and dirt and residue from the past, and the hard shells will all be cleaned off to expose the beautiful jewels and diamonds that God needs to reveal to the earth. Isn't that beautiful? So we're going to be purified through this. purified. This cleansing will be of a great magnitude, from the mega to the minor, will be exposed so truth will reign in the nation. Isn't that something? God's going to clean his church before we leave. Lord, I pray that the ministers will repent and heed the warning. Ministers will get their life right so they will not hurt the body of Christ. Heal your leaders, Lord. Heal the false and reveal the true. Expose the leaders operating in corruption in the government. Look at this. Heal our government from the president down. A great exposure of the fake and the false will be revealed as the truth is exalted and elevated. I'm calling to the crystal clear waters from the throne to flood this nation from one end to the other to expose every corruption and false idol. I dispatch angels to open the gates to the throne and the waters to pour over the nation for money and other. I pray against sexual perversion in the nation. I pray against mixing the world in the church, tainting the altars of purity. The injustices of the past and the blood that's crying out to God would be healed. I pray on the American side of the falls and on the Canada side. Because after I left that day, I went over to the, the American side and prayed that. Okay, now I'm going to read you the scripture that God has for me that kind of shows you about how God feels about those crystal clear waters. If everybody turned their Bible to Revelation chapter 22, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And you know, to all of you new people that are calling in, this is the King James Version. Okay. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, I served this woman one time. She was a head pastor of a church. It was a small church, you know, maybe 10, 15 people. And when she would pray for people for healing, she said that she always remembered this scripture because She would have a visual in her head that when she reached up into heaven, like say somebody stood at the altar and they needed a healing, she would have a visual of her reaching up to that tree and pulling down the fruit of healing. And that's the way that she has a visual in her head of how these people get healed. You know, and it's based on that scripture. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. For they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Ain't that beautiful? Because we know that the God of this world is putting his name on their foreheads. Isn't that sad? That these people, you know, that especially coming up in the global ID with the brain chip and all that, and they're selling their soul to Lucifer, you know, and putting his name on their forehead. It's like allegiance to their father, you know. And that's what's happening here is that God's people will have his name on their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Isn't that beautiful? Now, this part about the candle is very precious. Because remember, I told you guys that when you are the tree in the forest, when you're a sinner, and you're all intertwined in this forest through your sin and your culture and your, you know, just being a worldly citizen. Okay, you're intertwined with the world. Your roots are all intertwined with everybody else, and, you know, you're all one. But when you get saved in a real salvation experience, the Lord grabs your hand and pulls you out because you are different. You are now of another realm. You are like a queen or a king that he has called you out to take your place in his kingdom. So as you pull out, you know, you're coming out of the darkness, and now you're being led by a candle. You have a lamp burning on the inside of you. And what we have to guard all the time, because remember, you're the temple, right? You're going to learn, all of you taking the tabernacle class, how important this is. Because we are the temple. We do have a lamp in there. That's why demons see the light, because they see our candle burning, our lamp. Just like in the temple, there was a lamp. But God will remove that lamp to people that walk towards sin and sell their soul. Woe unto them that have no more candle. They have no more light. It's really sad. So when it says here they need no candle, because in this end scenario right here, right now, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is inside us. We are the temple. That's why we have to guard our temple like Fort Knox. But in the end time scenario, it flips. We are now in him. Literally, we are in his tent. We're in his tabernacle. He lights the city with his face. Thus, we don't need a candle anymore. See, right now, you know, I use this analogy all the time, you know, that we have to follow the candlelight. You know, that there's so much darkness that you just have to follow the candle, you know, because they want you to go back to the darkness. And this is why people reject you, because of your light. Your light, it stings them, because it convicts them. And that's why they lash out at you and all of that stuff, you know, because they don't like what they see on you. And so, but you want that light. You want those eyes on you. You want that candle, you know, and you run towards that warmth. Over there, it's icy cold. Because when you sin, like I was saying earlier, when I was sinning on away from the Lord, one foot in, one foot out, I knew I did not have the protection of God. I knew when I was in sin and I did not have that bubble over me. Because that's what I call it. We are in a glass house. We're in a bubble. But what protects you in that bubble is holiness. It is your choice of living that keeps you in that safety and in that protection. Because when I was in the world, partying on Saturday night, having fun, still going to church. I mean, I still had this image going on. But even though I was doing that and going to church three times a week, I mean, you know, heavily involved in the church, even though I was doing that, my prayers were hitting a wall. I did not have that right and authority, that holiness, that separation unto God is where your authority is. If not, it's like you're talking to the man on the moon. You can say in the name of Jesus, it ain't going nowhere. You don't have the authority to say it. And the devils know it. when I used to cast out devils, boy, and I started, you know, messing with the world a little bit, I had them talk back to me. They knew I had no longer had that authority. See, it's that bubble around you, that glass wall, that dome. I call it a dome of protection, you know. But it takes you guarding the gates. And it takes you walking in holiness. Because when I was out there in the world, I knew the wolves. Because they knew that I was halfway in and halfway out. And they would walk around me, tempting and taunting me, torturing me. Because I was not in. And that was the battle I had in my heart. And see, this is why the judgment's coming. Because of many people like that. And they're going to have to die. They're going to have to die to their self. This is where the key is. But what they don't understand and what I didn't understand back then is this. When you do die and you make the decision to go 100% in with God, and you walk into the unknown where all you see is that candlelight and it's a uncharted territory and it feels kind of unsafe a little bit because you're not in your familiarity zone anymore when you give him your all, this is where you're protected. It's in his perfect will. There is a permissive will. And there's his perfect will. His permissive will is when you're out there in sin, but, you know, he's still whatever, whatever. But in his perfect will, where you're walking that straight and narrow path and you're trying your best to live holy and you're walking a heart of repentance, you're keeping yourself humble, allowing him to correct you, chastise you, rebuke you, keep you in a corrective mode. If you haven't been corrected by God, then you're in backsliding. Something ain't right. Because there's nobody that's arrived. He's going to keep you in check. Whether you talk to somebody wrong or, you know, some type of action, he'll correct you. Okay, so let's go back to the scripture here. Verse 5 again. There's no night there, because remember, there's no more darkness. In this kingdom over here, there's no darkness. So you don't need a candle or the sun, because the Lord is the sun. He's the light. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Like the Lord showing me about the judgment and to proclaim that over the United States of America. Behold, I come quickly. This is Jesus. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. But then said him unto me, don't do this, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. In other words, don't worship me, I'm only human. You know, an angel saying, don't worship me, I'm a servant just like you are, John. Worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, this is the key to you guys today. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. What do you think that means? It means this right here. You cannot control other people. They are going to do what they're going to do. And they are making the choices for their own life. You cannot make that choice for them. And the life that they're living is based upon the decisions they've made in the past and the decisions that they're making now. But what your responsibility is in this matter is, do you want to be connected to that? They're making their choice, but you've made yours. Are they hindering yours? Then there may be a separation that needs to take place. You are choosing your road. You know, I'm not talking about marriage or whatnot, because that you need to, you know, pray about that. But you know your situation. But I'm just saying, in relationships, period. These people have made their choice, and you're choosing to go down the road of darkness. I'm not going down that road with you. And I'm not going to try to change you anymore. I'm not going to try. You know, a lot of this has to do with our children and stuff, too. You know, we got to let them go and let God. This is where we trust God. Y'all people are going to do what you're going to do. But I have a mission to do. I have a job I have to do. So you're going to answer to God for what you're doing, and I'm going to answer to God for what I'm doing. But I'm not going to, you know, keep focusing my life on trying to hold you up because you keep choosing the wrong thing. I'm going to let you deal with God. I'm not your God anymore. I'm letting you go. I'm not going to be your crutch. I'm not going to take care of you and let you just lean on me. I'm not your God. And I am enabling you to not find God because you are not suffering. I am taking care of you and you're not suffering. You need to go, and since you think you're so strong and so mighty in your mind that you know it all, that you don't need a God and you don't need a Savior, then hit the road and go find him. You can make all that mind up yourself, then figure it out yourself. Because I'm living for God. I am trusting in God, thus I have the blessings. I mean, this is the way I see things. You know, I have the blessings because God has blessed me. Like what I told you guys about the children of Israel. The children of Israel had the cloud that protected them. They had all the provision. It was the wicked that made the choice. They didn't need a God that don't have that cloud. And I know this sounds like, wow, this woman's really being mean. I'm not being mean. I am telling you, people are, especially in this day and age, when people are getting ready to turn you in, and then you're going to be flirting with these people, it's going to turn around and turn you in. They're doing you no good. You know, I'd rather be alone and have God and the glory in my house than to have people in there that's going to be hounding me all the time and wearing me out. I'd be kicking on the curb. You need to go find God. I mean, you know, I love you, but you're not going to mess up my, my house and dishonor my God. And that's what I feel like they would be doing. You know, because we can enable people to not find Jesus. This is, you think about what I just said about the judgment that's coming to the church. What is going to make people turn? Judgment. When these people are getting exposed, you know, they're going to turn to the Lord. What is it going to take to reach people? You know, what is being an enabler? Where you sit and take care of somebody because you're so worried they're not going to be able to make it on their own. Do they ever find Jesus when their comforts are right in their face? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? These people need to know that God is God. You know, when I got out there, when I was homeless, I had to learn to depend on God. I had to learn that. And the best thing that I can do for you guys is to empower you to know who you are in Christ so that you have that revelation that He is that He is. That you can go through anything, you can do anything that God has called you to once you know who you are in Christ. Because you know that you can be all alone in this world, standing in the middle of a desert. Once you know that word and you know him, that if God tells you to take off out that door because the beast is coming, and you take off out that door and you leave your cell phone, you leave everything, you just walk. You know, I had a guy call me. I actually have a lot of prophets call me with their stuff. But anyway, so this one guy called me who I consider a prophet. And he said, and I've never heard from this guy before. I didn't know him, but I knew by the Spirit he was a prophet. And he said, I am calling you to tell you what I'm doing. I am hearing from the Lord. It is time. And this was about September. But he said it was time that him and his family were leaving and going off grid. But God told that man to tell me what he was doing as a prophet, because, you know, God has given me this nation. I don't know how to explain it, except that, you know, he keeps me abreast of what's happening in the country. I guess because of what I did in 2017 and what I did in D.C., being the captain over the Capitol and the White House. I'm still in that position, believe it or not. Down here in Tennessee. But anyway, so he told me, he said, the Lord is telling me that I have to go off grid and I've got to rescue people. And I said, what do you mean rescue people? He said, the Lord is going to send me and my family to different places, different cities. And he's going to have me walk up to a house. He's already showed me, and I'm going to tell people, you got to leave now. So we're at that point, and I know this in the spirit, that we're at that point of arrest and all this stuff. Because I don't know if y'all saw my news yesterday, but President Trump, they just announced that he is going to send American citizens over to Guantanamo Bay and to Guatemala, which is a torture prison. I mean, we're at that point. Anyway, so he said, I just wanted you to know that I'm going to be out there. I said, well, God had you call me because I'm going to pray something over you. And I do this. It's really like an apostolic anointing, really. And so what I prayed over him is what God did for me when I used to do that in another form. And I prayed that whenever when God sends him to a city, this is why I tell you guys, if you have prophets come up to your door and they tell you, thus saith the Lord, of course you will bear witness with it in the spirit. But just know this stuff is real. There are people that God is using in this manner, in this hour. So this is the time that you have to know that you could be activated at any minute type of deal. But anyway, so what I prayed for him was, is that when he obeys the Lord and goes to the houses, that he will have the unction of the Holy Spirit to prophesy to them, to do like God used to do me when he would send me to houses. He would say, turn right here, turn left here, go to this house. I want you to prophesy this over that man. So I go to the door, knock on the door, big burly man comes to the door. You know, and I would tell him, sir, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I was head of the doctor and the Lord told me to come over here and pray for you. Can I pray for you? He's like, yes, you know, feeling all weird. But when I prophesied over him and I said, thus saith the Lord, and I showed him what God showed me happened to him when he was a kid, that big burly man fell to his knees, repenting. It cut him right to the core. That's what I prayed for that prophet, that he would have that God would give him that understanding, that the person would know, only God would know this, you know. So that people will move instantly and not hesitate, because we're in that hour. if somebody showed up at my door, you know, which God has sent prophets here to this farm, you know, so I understand, you know, that they will bring you, and they may just show up at your house to give you a word. You know, don't take it lightly. Listen to these people. And like I told you guys before, you give them whatever they need. I am telling you this in the spirit. Of course, the Lord will probably tell you how to bless them. Remember, I went to that one horse farm and the lady massaged my feet. The Lord told her to take care of me for 3 days. She massaged my feet and she cooked me nice meals and took me for walks and took me to meet all of her horses and, you know, showed me her pretty flowers and really just took care of me. And when I left, she gave me $1,000 and some books. So whatever God tells you to give that person, because they're blessing you, just their presence being in your house is a blessing. Believe me. One time I was in this house and the Lord gave me a dream. Now, I was in a house of a young couple, okay? They had just had a baby and they were so poor that there was hardly any furniture. They had been blessed with this beautiful home but had nothing to fill it, you know, just real poor. And so I was in the house and I slept on a mattress on the floor. And, you know, which I told you, I've slept with people all across this country in their houses, you know, all situations, trailers, mansions, you know, just Americans. So, you know, I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I love everyone where they're at. So and everybody knows when I go to their house, it's a no judgment zone. And people feel very comfortable with me when I come to their house, you know what I mean? But almost all the times that I've been in people's houses, God has spoken to me about them. And I give them a word the next morning. And so I gave that woman a word, you know. And there is another woman. Oh, you know that woman that I told you guys was very poor and they let me stay there for 2 months or was it 3 months? And the mama gave up her bedroom to me and slept in the living room for 3 months. God told her to do this. And they took care of me with what food they had from food stamps, you know. And this is back when I was first in my pit, you know, back in 2013. So they took good, they honored God, like the widow with Elijah gave him her last meal. This is what I'm telling you to do, these prophets, because let me show you. When I left there, the Lord gave me a dream. And he told me, he said, those girls have been so good to you. He said, I am going to bless them beyond measure. He said, so get up and go tell them girls that because they have been so good to you, they can ask anything they want and I will grant it unto them. They are the only person that I've ever prayed that over. I set those two women down and I said, you know, it's time for me to leave. And I said, the Lord gave me a dream and he told me that he will give you girls anything you want. Just ask him right now for blessing me. So I said, y'all go off in the bedroom and talk about it. Because when you come back, you need to be very serious about what your answer is because he's waiting. So they go off and they pray about it and they come back and they said, we don't want anything. I said, what? I mean, these people were, you know, they need a house. These people need a car. I mean, their car was broke down. You know what I'm saying? They could have asked God, Lord, we need a home, you know, and God would have granted it to them. But they said nothing, so they got nothing. That's another lesson that I have learned being on the road talking about prophets. When God asks you something, go for the gusto. Ask Him for what you believe for the impossible. Don't minimize yourself. You know, trying to be humble. Ask Him, what is your heart's desire? That's what God wants to give, is your heart's desire. He is an amazing God, you know, and He will bless you tremendously. All right, so let's go back over here to the scripture. Okay, so where was I at? Let's see. Okay, so on the scripture where it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. But he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. In other words, I repented to my son the other day, Brock, because I kind of see this is what I did with Brock, you know, because, and I've confessed to you guys about this before. I have two sons to you guys that are following me now that, you know, don't know me from the man on the moon. And you don't know my story, or maybe you haven't read my life story, but I have two boys that are very anointed that I went to Bible college with. We all three was in Bible college together. They were both in there for missions. You know, they're missionaries there. And then I have a daughter that they called a prophetess, which I could tell you some stories about her, boy. So I have three anointed children. Well, because of what I've been through with them in the past, the miracle after miracle after miracle, I know who they are in the spirit. When I pray for them, I pray that in. I'm in agreement with that vision that I have. One of the mistakes that I've made as a mother, though, which has kind of turned my children off, and God has convicted me for it, is that they don't feel appreciated because they're not that, where I know they can be yet, okay? But they feel like that I don't appreciate where they're at now. And the Lord convicted me of that because I very much do. It's just that I know the better over here type of, you know, let's get over here. So I had a long conversation with Brock the other day, boy, and I repented to him. I said, Brock, I need you to seriously listen to me. I need to repent to you. And I said, you know, I know your story and I know, you know, your life and everything. And, you know, I want you to know that if you feel like that I have, that I am not seeing the beauty of who you are now, the wonderful father that you are and the wonderful son, the wonderful husband that you are, you know, and now, you know, he has a job because he was living down there, you know, in the valley, but he couldn't make enough money to support the family. So they had to move to Georgia. And so now they just go back and forth and he's remodeling that house down the valley. But I said, I want you to forgive me because I'm so proud of you, Brock. And I want you to forgive me for my expectations, you know, that may have skewed my love or the way that I've, you know, made you feel. And because I always want my kids to know that, you know, I am not perfect. And I know that, you know, I will be quick to repent. I want my kids to know that I'm quick to repent. And that when I see when God convicts me about something like this, you know, I will repent about it. So, but I did repent, want them to know that they're in process like I was in process. And Brock sure had to love me when he was on top of the mountain and I was out there. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So I had much grace. But So anyways, you know, of course he forgave me and he asked me to forgive him, you know, so it was a really good conversation. But going back to this scripture though, he that is unjust, let him be unjust. Don't try to change him is what I'm trying to say. I wanted Brock to know I'm not trying to change you, you know, just like Dennis. Dennis is his own man. He is a mountain man. He dresses the way he dresses. You know, he is who he is. And I accept him for who he is. I don't try. The only thing that I try to change is like if I have a ball or something I'm going to, I definitely would want him to dress up, you know. He will have to come over to my side sometimes. You know what I mean? But on the normal every day, I mean, you know, he is who he is, and I appreciate who he is. I see the beauty of, you know, the man that God made. And so I'm not going to try to change him. So if we have people in our life, let all that go. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to be who they're going to be. But you cannot be held back by them anymore. There's not any more time. You know, if they're making their filthy choices and doing their gross stuff they're doing, be gone. You people, you live that life. I'm not living that life. I have made my mind up, you know, and I'm not going to try to talk to you about it anymore. I'm not going to try and change you anymore. You know, you made your choice and I've made mine, you know. But anyway, now, of course, you still love them. You know, I'm not saying not to love them, but I'm just saying that don't try to control them and choke them to death. Because a lot of times Christians will do that. I want you to be like me, you know. You're going to have to let them go and let God have them, you know. Okay, so let's go down to verse 12. And behold, this is Jesus talking now. I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So this goes back to letting them people be what they're going to be. Go on with your bad self and do what you're going to do. Because you're going to get rewarded for all this that you're doing. Just like I'm going to be rewarded for all that I'm doing. You have a job to do. Which master are you serving? You go serve that master, because you know what? That master ain't going to be in this house anymore. This is just the way I feel. I'm not putting up with it, you know. To give, because he's going to be judged, I'm going to be judged. You know, type of deal. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am all there ever is and all there ever was and all there ever will be. He is that he is. Blessed are they that do his commandments. So here we go, blessed. Wait a minute. Remember what I told you too, Bride. People are going to be jealous of your blessings, especially in the coming days when it is obvious it's all get out. This is why I do not rub it in people's faces. You be careful and very sensitive with your blessings. In other words, this is just a good example. That woman in Tampa, I think she's on here with us today. We had the Hurricane Helene hit. She had pled the blood of Jesus over her apartment building. They had lights before any other place in the city. I told her, you turn them lights off, woman. You be careful. Only turn on a little lamp or something that you need. You know, be very careful because people will be coming through that door. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And if y'all think I'm kidding, you need to talk to her about what they did when the lights went out. Because she lives in one of them big tower buildings right by the ocean. They were running trying to find electricity to charge their phones. They were all crowded in the elevator and almost broke the elevator because the elevator had lights. So they were plugging their phones up. So they will be coming to your house. So if you're blessed with all this food and the abundance thereof that, you know, God has blessed you with because you have honored him, all right? Just be careful about what other people know about your blessings. You know, because, you know, God is going to use you to bless others with those blessings. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But you don't want to overextend it either. Your blessings are for the glory of God. So I'm just telling you wisdom, you know, to be wise about your blessings. Don't flaunt them because of the hour that we're in type of deal. So blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right, to the tree of life, Remember I told you about the dome? I knew when I was in sin and I was serving the wrong master, even though I had one foot in the church and one foot out. My heart allegiance was more to the out, the party and lifestyle, because I wanted to have fun. I was single, yada, yada. So that was the God I was serving. I had no more rights to Jesus. I had made that choice by my sin. I knew it too. And even though I was going to church 3 days a week, had, you know, my two sons preaching the gospel in the city, I just didn't want to give God my all at that time. It was too much. You know, you really do have to die, you know. And a lot of people don't want to die. They want to still live. They don't want to give up their... They don't want to even think about giving up nothing. I mean, if people had to go through what I went through, where they've had to give up their house and everything they had and had to leave their dog and leave their family to go on the road to follow the Lord. Not saying your husband, but I'm saying, you know, leave your kids. Because remember when God called me to Bible college, my daughter... I had two kids left, you know, that was younger, under 18. One was living with me and one was living with her father. But God called me to go and I had to go and leave her. That was hard. But she had made the choice to leave me because she got tired of living in a preacher house. So there you go. Her choices brought her choices. But the good thing is after I was in Bible college about 3 or 4 months, God brought her to me. So she made her way back home. But the point is that, you know, people cannot even fathom in their head about giving up nothing. You're going to have to know that you know that you know that nothing you have is yours. And this includes your spouse. This includes your children. This includes yourself. Nothing you have is yours. It's all God's. Subject to be given to God at any time. This is why it's having your priorities in the right place. You do own nothing and you are happy about it. See, this is why a lot of people right now, you know, listen to that rain. We have a storm here right now. Hold on just a moment. Let me find Princess. I don't have her in here. We got a storm that just... Oh, there's Misty. How'd you get in here? Princess! Princess, well, what's the storm out there? All right. Well, at least I got Misty. I don't know where Princess is, but she may be with Dennis. But we sure enough got a storm here. So if I lose my sound, y'all will know why. Okay, so what was I saying? Carla, what was I saying? Oh, I hear you, Carla. Carla says, I'm seeing several people right now that I know would definitely throw me under the bus. It's heartbreaking. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's move on with the scripture then. Blessed are those that do his commandments that they may have. Oh, that's what we were talking about. The right to the tree of life. And may enter in through the gates into the city. Because, see, when you arrive with God, there's Princess. I see her. There she is. Okay, girl, hold on. When you arrive with God and you have his blessing, you know it. Because you're in that dome of protection. And you know that you can call upon him anytime. Come on, girl, get out of that storm. There you go. Good girl. Good girl. Let me give y'all a bone. Hold on, y'all guys. Come here. Let her give you guys a bone for being such a good girl. All right. Good girl. Y'all ain't spoiled at all. No, you're not. Our girls ain't spoiled. Okay, so... but when you're a Christian and you're walking in holiness, you know you have angels that are with you, the protection of the Lord, and you have the heart and the eyes of God on you. And that's a very, very important thing to have. Okay. All right. And then, because look at the next scripture. Well, it says, and may enter in through the gates into the city. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Remember this song? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Okay, so go to the next scripture, which is verse 15. For without, or what does it mean by without? It means outside of the city. Are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and makes a lie. You know, I was watching President Trump, a video that I found in my files. And I posted it on Patreon the day before yesterday. Now, whenever I post you guys videos on there of the days of old, you need to go look at them. When I say you need to be reminded of this, because of where we're at 6 years later, you need to remember what happened, because they don't want people to remember. But it showed him at his rally with all these Christians and families and children, and gets up there and cusses our God and says the GD word. But I noticed something I didn't notice before, was the crowd's reaction. Go back and watch that video. It's the saddest thing. The Christians shouting and clapping while he is cussing our God. It is horrible. I'm going to tell y'all, I told you this time because I thought I was his prophet. And I used to repent to God all the time about his stuff, his mouth, all the stuff he, the way he would talk about people and curse people, it would destroy their lives. It's not funny what he did or what he still does. It destroys people. If he mentions their name, oh, it's over. Oh, his worshipers will go to their house. I mean, we're talking, it's over. So I used to repent to God all the time for him. Lord, I am so sorry. So when I heard, because they used to call me Trump's girl at the White House, and they used to mock me about him all the time, but I didn't care. I was fighting for him. You know, it was the way I felt then. And I'd stand in front of his office with my hand held over everybody, and I'd pray for him every day. I was making sure nobody was touching that man, you know, in the spirit. But anyway, so they come to him, and they're like, hey, Trump's girl, what do you think about him cussing your God today? I was like, what are you talking about? I've been here working all day. And they said, oh, yeah, he sure did. And he did it twice. I was like, what? So I start making excuses for him like we all did. And I said, oh, he was probably just quoting somebody or something. Oh, no. Go back and listen to it. I was kind of scared, too, because I was already questioning in my mind, something's not right about this. He knows that the world equates Christians with him. So everything he does, we get the backlash from it because of the association that he's made with us. So he knows what he's doing. This is what I learned up there. He knows that he's ruining the church every time he does this mess. So I went and listened to that, and oh, my heart cringed. Oh, no, you did not just do that. One of them was where he was acting like he was quoting somebody, but the other one was legit. And I cried and cried and cried to God. I was so grieved, you just wouldn't believe it. I was grieved for our country that we would have a president do that, and not, especially in front of the church. And not only that, he's in front of leaders, which I know now he only does all this stuff to spew vomit down the angry birds' mouths. He only does it to corrupt them. That's the whole point of everything he has done with the church, is to corrupt. That's it. That's it. Because every time he cusses, every time he lies, this is what made me think about this, is this scripture right here. Whoever makes a lie and loves it. That's what he does. He loves it and makes lies. Well, the thing is it corrupts every hearer. All his worshipers, they just continue to go down and down and down into corruption. And so they end up like their father. So here we are now, 6 and 7 years later, putting up with this. And these people look just like their father. They're quick to anger. You know, and they end up just spewing that same vomit. You'll hear them cussing and everything. I mean, okay, so let's continue. But the whole point of this scripture in verse 15 is that they're describing a city here that has the crystal clear waters from the throne. But from without the city are these people. Dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root. Look at there, yo trees listening. Remember we talked about the roots? I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Isn't that beautiful? Now, let's look at this word. I'm the root of David, which means David came out of my tree. But I'm also the offspring. I'm on the other side of David. I'm on the offspring of David. Isn't that beautiful? He was, he is, and he is to come. Isn't he awesome? All right, let's go to the next scripture. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How do we get the waters of life, bride? Remember the analogy of the trees. It is in our roots, our feet. Is the roots into the rivers of living water. They supernaturally connect. How do we keep these roots alive? It's called repentance. Because your roots will get hard as an everlasting rock through a fence. And it will clog up your roots to where you cannot receive the rivers of living water. That's why when people cuss and they're angry and they lash out and they speak out of their tongue, which is their most unruly member, and they speak out all this vomit, it's because of their roots. Their root system is connected to the wrong vine. And they're releasing these seeds out of their tree that's going onto your tree. That's why you have to protect where your tree is and who's around your tree. They're connected to the wrong vine. And their roots are rotten. See? So that's why when I pray for people and they have bitter roots, and I'll pray, I'll be like, Lord, I pray that you heal those roots. Reach down in there, Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the searcher of man's hearts. So Holy Spirit, reach down in there and heal those roots. Get that bitter taken care of. Heal them. Deliver them. Heal, unclog that root so that the rivers can flow up through that root. And that the river is what gives you life. See, the river is your life-sustaining water. We're thirsty. We are thirsty for that river, for the river to flow. What happens to a tree whenever the tree has the sun, which is Jesus, shining on the tree? It's photosynthesis. You meet that with the waters that are flowing up from the rivers of living water, and we begin to bear fruit. See, this is why this 40-day fast was so good. This is just my personal testimony. It was so good for me because it brought so much healing. I needed it. I surely did. From what I went through in 2024, I needed healing from all that. And now I feel a lot stronger. You know, this is why my sermons, these morning calls, are getting better every day, because I'm on fire, you know. And it's because of what we've been doing in the Bible college. Oh, man. Have I just enjoyed this so much. I have grown with the students. I have learned so much from them and have enjoyed watching them grow, and I've learned from the book that we're studying, you know, which is the book I wrote back in 2016. It has brought back a lot of memories. That was back in my pure days when it was nothing but me and Jesus in the woods and the, you know, that type of innocence. You know, not here where I'm dealing with the beast, you know. But it brought back a lot of stuff. So I've been healed, and God has done a lot of restoration. So let's go back to the word. This ain't about me. All right. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride. Are you the bride? Yes. The bride says, come. And let him that hears say, come. Come to what? Come to that city. That's where we long to go. Remember what I said. We don't live in this earthly realm. We live in the spiritual realm. We're already in eternity. We're already over there. Y'all hear what I mean? We're not over here. Hold on just a moment. Papa.
Hello, Mama.
Papa, can you please come get Misty? All right, Brad, hold on just a moment.
You have to stop putting her in your office. Is that all?
Yes, sir. All right, come on, Missy. All right, Brad. That was my husband rebuking me. Yes, your husband can rebuke you too. He gets on to me for letting Misty in here, but I feel sorry for her. Anyway, okay, so what was I saying? Okay, so and the spirit and the bride say come, and let him that hears say come, and let him that is thirsty come. This is that city, the eternal city that we live for. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Isn't that beautiful? For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be weird for some people to understand, but I have kind of a new understanding of this. Let me finish this next one and then I'll tell you. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. And from the things which are written in this book. Now see, did you know that Jerusalem is in heaven? Did you know that when the millennial reign comes, that the new Jerusalem is going to come down? That the city is going to come down out of heaven? There are cities up there. That's one thing. Another thing about Brock's book that I really enjoyed, you know, is learning how there's all these cities up there. And also he talks about how he went to my mother's house and he got to see the way that Brock describes your mansion is like whatever you liked on the earth, that will be in your mansion. That will always be with you. For instance, my mother loved redbirds, so she has a mansion, has a bunch of redbirds all the time there. Another woman he met from the Philippines used to go outside and pray by the waterfall by the Lord, and now she has a waterfall in the middle of her mansion. She has a waterfall that always reminds her. Just stuff like that. But I would like for all of us to live on the same street. Wouldn't that be cool? To have a mansion next to each other and all of us be able to sit there and talk to each other. Y'all remember when we used to be on that prayer call? Don't y'all remember when that old beast was blowing down the house, trying to get to our house. Lord, if we only knew all the miracles that was going to happen on the other side of that. Do you remember that? Oh, man. Can y'all imagine the conversations we're going to have? Another thing that Brock says in that book that's pretty cool is that there are memorials set up there for people that did great things, mighty exploits in the earth. That there's memorials like statues, and they that has like their accomplishments, and then the people actually stand there and explain to people what they did on the earth. And you know, they kind of just share their testimony up there. I thought, how cool is that? Because y'all got to remember that eternity is eternity. There is no time. So we will be talking to each other forever and a day about what happened in the earth while you was there. I mean, just imagine all the different people you're going to get to meet, all the people of the days. But hey, Moses, man, I want to know what it was like whenever you parted the Red Sea. I want to know, did you really see the whales in the water? Did you see the fish? Were they waving at you when you went by, Moses? I just got to know. Daniel, what about you when you was in the lion's den? Daniel, I got to know how the lions, did the lions sit there and talk to you, Daniel? That's what I want to know. I got a bunch of questions I want to ask. Because one thing that we have learned is that every matter answers to God. So if it's God's will that Daniel sits in that cave with those lions that they have ordered to kill him. So y'all remember this in case they send you off to a camp and you are so scared how God can use you in the middle of that. I know it sounds hard because we know what Trump's doing right now, but God will be with us no matter what. So anyway, so he goes to this cave with all these lions that have been eating humans, okay? So Daniel is thrust in there with these zombies. You know, think of it in that way. And then the next morning, they're sitting there just, you know, laying beside him, just like nothing happening. So my question is, I want to know the nitty-gritty details here. Come on, Daniel, spill the beans. I want to know what these lions said. Because I have a feeling they talked to him. Yo, Daniel. Yo, yo, yo. What about it, Daniel? Hey, that is cool to know that you really serve God, man. And he told us not to eat you, Daniel. You must be very special to him, huh? Daniel be like, yo, yo, y'all better stay 6 feet. You better stay 6 feet, yo, lion. I don't care if God told you not to kill me. I still don't want you near me. You just stay over there and I'll be happy, okay? So needless to say, I can't wait to talk to all these people and find out what really happened, you know. But anyway, because I think about my favorite story in the Bible is about Balaam, you know, Balaam and the donkey. All right, so you have this prophet that's riding on a donkey, and the prophet's being rebellious to God. He is selfish. He is stubborn. So he's on this donkey, and the donkey is slowing down because there's an angel stopping him. But the stubborn prophet is mad at this donkey, and all right, sis, love you too, is mad at this donkey, and so he's beating on the donkey. And so the donkey turns around and talks to him. This is in the Bible. I have a visual of this. And the donkey turns around and says, what in the world is going on, dude? Why are you beating me? And he said, and the prophet said, because you won't walk. I've got to get over here. I'm in a hurry. And so the donkey says, Can't you see the angel right in front of me? I can't go past the angel. And then the prophet sees, uh-oh, I'm in trouble by God, you know. But when I first read that story, I laughed to no end. That is just, that donkey talking back is so funny. Okay, so going back to what the revelation I have about this, where it says in verse 19, if any man will take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. I still think about that CRISPR technology taking people's books of life and just carving the words right out of the book and inserting new words. That's exactly what that is. People got to understand, I mean, their technology that they have right now is wicked. This stuff is wicked. And Leah was telling me they invited her to be on a radio show where she's going to talk about that mRNA and what it does. And I warned Leah. I said, Leah, you listen to me good, woman. Don't you dare get in front of all these thousands of people and tell them something that ain't right. You better tell them what this is. This is CRISPR technology. You know, because the last thing we want to do is to be misleading people, you know, about what this is, because this V, it is an app. It is an app being installed. There's no other way to put it. People have to hear for what it is. It is CRISPR technology. Now, of course, you know, they're lying to people, you know, and they're making them think that it's the cure-all, and it ain't. But I feel like, you know, if we're going to go on radio or, you know, any type of media, we need to speak truth to power. That's how you do it. You know, you get on there and whoever's listening, you know, let them know, you know, because you have to speak truth, you know, no matter what the cost, when you can, because people are being lied to. So if you don't tell it, who is? You know, so this is why a lot of people will not listen to me and why they call me a cult. Because I'm too truthful and they don't want to hear this much truth. But this is how Stephen died, the first martyr. Because he spoke truth. And you have to speak truth. Because the devil's lying to them. And to me, this is how you show real love. When you really love people, you speak truth to them, don't you? When your kids come to you, you tell them the truth. You don't lie to them because you want to remain friends with them. You're not their friend. You are their parent. And you will be held accountable to God till the day you die over those kids. And if you lie to them because you're so worried about their face and you're so worried about their opinion of you, you will answer to God about it. Because you are the authority figure in their life till the day you die. So you always speak truth. And whether they like it or not, it's still, of course, you say it in love, right? You say it in love. But if they cannot trust that when they go to their parents, that you're going to tell them the truth, if nobody else on the earth does, but you do, they will know that they can trust you even when it hurts, because you're sowing the seeds of truth and life. Life always comes with the truth. They may be wanting to kill you, but it brings life, because why? You're exposing the devil for who he is. He is a liar and he is a thief. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he does to people. He lies to them He wants them to come in agreement with that lie. Y'all hear what I'm saying? How do you come in agreement with that lie? Is you participate with them. You stay in the lie. You endorse the lie by staying there. Because you are not confronting it and you are not taking a position. So thus you are endorsing their lie. You speak the truth to power and you accept the consequences on the other side of that type of deal. Let's go to verse 20. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. One time when I was in the pit, I had these two ministers come to my house. This is when I was in the valley or in the desert. I told you I was in this place. After I come off the tour, the 2017 tour, I was in the, God put me in the desert for a year to rest. And he took care of me supernaturally. But while I was there, he would send prophets to me all the time. Well, I had these two preachers come. And they were going to a NAR conference in my city. I told them, that guy that you're going to is NAR. You know, you need to avoid him, but they wouldn't listen. That's their choice. All I knew is warm. And so we was talking, and one of the ladies I had been friends with for 30-something years, because she was my mom's friend, and she knew me, and she, you know, knew the she didn't like me turning against NAR. You know, so she was already had that taste in her mouth towards me, but you know, God showed me on the road. That's how I found out was that 2017 tour. I didn't fully understand it, though, till I got to D.C. and saw it from the heads of NAR. That's where I learned the truth about it. But anyway, so while I was there, one of the other preachers said, we was talking about something, and she goes, well, it's like, you know, I got this, she's a youth pastor. And she said, I got this youth, you know, that is into the rainbow lifestyle. And, you know, I just haven't said anything to him because I know that his parents are Christians and that they will do it. I looked at that woman and I warned her like the day is long. Very serious warning. I said, no, ma'am. They are under your authority as well. And if you don't sit him down and look at that devil in the face and confront that thing, and you tell him, sir, I know that you're living that lifestyle and you're going to do what you're going to do, but I have to tell you, because I'm your leader and I am held accountable to God for this, I'm going to have to tell you the truth. See, you are the torch of truth to people, and so you tell them, you know, if you choose that lifestyle, letting them know that they're making a choice, because they lie to them and say they're not choosing. No, it's a choice. You are making that choice. So if you do, because you can, you have free will, the consequences of that is that it is an abomination to the creator of all things, God. And there you will split hell wide open. There is no other choice in this. If you can go down that road, because it is your choice. But just know that it is to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's lying to you. It is not a good thing. It goes against nature itself. So you give your whole spiel. Man, that youth pastor got so mad at me. She goes, I am not confronting that kid. I don't believe that's what we're meant to do. I'm like, well, it is. You are a pastor. You're a leader. You have to confront it so that it comes to the surface. Y'all can nip that in the bud. That's what a leader is for, you know. And then when I was in Mississippi, I was serving these preachers, and I was in this hair salon. My mother had given me $100 for my birthday to get my hair done. And I was so excited. I was going to get it colored. You know, back then, you could get your hair colored blonde, you know, for $100. You can't now. But anyway, so I was in there and I was So do you know that I'm a preacher here in town and I'm serving these ministries and yada, yada, you know. And she goes, really, you're a preacher, huh? And she said, well, let me tell you about my life. So she begins to tell me. Oh, I got this boyfriend. Oh, man, he is married. But his wife don't care. She wants me to have her husband. And he just buys me everything. He spoils me rotten. And, you know, now he is a Mason, you know, but he's really good to me, though. And he's, oh, I just love him. We have so much fun together. And his wife really does. She set me down and told me, I want you to have my husband. I don't want him. So I really, you know, I really want to take this husband. And I'm just so happy. So she's doing my hair while she's telling me all this, right? And so I'm listening, just listening. And at the end, when she finishes my hair, she said, and what do you say about this? And that's what I waited for. And I said, well, ma'am, you know, I'm a minister of the living God, right? And she got kind of scared. She's like, yeah. I said, you know, I have to tell you the truth, right? And she's like, yes, you know, getting all scared. I said, ma'am, if you continue in that lifestyle, you're going to split hell wide open. I said, ma'am, there ain't nothing good about what you're doing. I said, that man is lying to you, woman. I said, I don't care what that husband. And she started stomping him down. But I want him. I want him. I said, I know you want him, but you can't have him, ma'am. He belongs to somebody else. So you better take your hands off this vomit woman. And I told her, I said, first of all, if he was to divorce his wife and then you two get married, God ain't going to bless that no more than a man on the moon, woman. I said, the devil is lying to you. So you need to get out of that bed. Boy, she was stomping. She was so mad. Because she kept saying, I want him, though. I want him. I'm like, I know you do. I know how the flesh is. I said, now, I ain't judging you. But I'm telling you what the word says. So she told me, because I tell her, you can do it, but you're going to go to hell if you do it. And so she turned around and she said, you know what? I have told that to on how many ministers. Ain't nobody spoke to me the way you do. And she said, I'm going to bless you, woman. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to cut your hair and color your hair anytime you want to, as long as you're in the state of Mississippi. Do you hear me? I love your honesty. That's what she said. She said, I'd rather somebody be honest with me than not. Bam. She cut my hair and colored my hair the whole time I was in Mississippi. Every time I'd come in, she'd tell me about her, you know, relationship with this man. So what ended up happening is she ended up marrying this fella. Oh, yeah. He left his wife for her. She ends up marrying him, and it was nothing but a trap. It was a trap from the pits of hell. He married her, that old Mason that he is, and then he stripped her. He took all that money that he used to shower on her when he was lavishing her with his love and their sin and debauchery. They got married. Oh, yeah, he did that. So it was a trap. So if any of you women are in there, don't get caught in that trap. But the point that I'm trying to say is that it is our job as Christians, you know, to speak truth to people, because the devil is sitting. What it is the devil is convincing them that what they're doing is right. So they've reasoned in their mind this perversion. Okay. And I'm going to tell you, if you partner with perversion, it opens the door to later on trickling down. And I'm going to give you another example. One time I was serving this minister. She was a minister. That one I told you that had that church with like 15 in it. But she was an anointed woman, okay? But she had a daughter that was an LGBT woman. And she had a girlfriend that they lived together. And now this woman was a wealthy woman, the one that had the church, the pastor. And she had a farm, a very beautiful farm, about like this, you know, 12 acres. And she had two houses on it. So she had the main house, which was like a conglomerate. It was beautiful. And then she had another house that she rented out to other people. Now, see, her husband died, and so she's a widow, okay? So, which, you know, he used to be with her when she was the head pastor. So, you know, he died, and now she's alone. Well, so I'm serving her, you know, and she's teaching me, and I'm helping her with her ministry, and it's growing now. You know, I've got her online, and I've got her doing her shows live. I've got her on social media. I build her a website, you know, so I'm building her image out there, so thus the people are coming. So her ministry's growing. Well, one day, right before I leave, she sits me down. And she says, my daughter needs a place to live, so I'm going to let them rent this house. Well, me being a servant, and I'm learning from her, which I've learned. Believe me, God has taught me how to do when you're a servant and how you serve these pastors. There is protocol of God about it. You know, you don't go in there and try to change their ministry and yada, yada. You know, no, you're there to learn. Be quiet and learn. Serve. Help them to be successful. Help them to finish their mission. As you are in preparation and in your process, in your cocoon of learning, help them be successful. God is watching. So I was in that mode. I was in the cocoon under her, you know. So I knew I didn't have the authority to just rebuke her or anything, you know. And so I said, I do have a question, though. And she's like, yeah, because I was very, very careful how I addressed this. I said, now, I'm only asking because I'm your student, okay. But I don't see how God would bless that, you know. Because they're living this rainbow lifestyle, and then you would be bringing it in your house. You know, what is God saying to you about this? Boy, she got so mad. How dare you judge me? You are judging me. You are my student. You're not supposed to be judging me. And I said, I don't mean to, really. I'm just asking because I'm learning, you know, type of deal, but. So what ended up happening is she let them move in, all right. Now, they had, her daughter had kids, and then the lesbian lover didn't. I think the lesbian lover was like the man, and she was the woman with the kids or whatever. But anyway, so they moved in. Every time I talked to her after that, it was chaos. She brought chaos in her house. It was, every time, it was just chaos, chaos, chaos. See, this is where we as parents have to draw the line. We have to pick God over sin. There has to be standards. I know people say, well, you know, they're my kids, and I'm not going to say no to my kids. You know, just you better be praying about it. Because you are held accountable to God for what happens inside your house. And if they're inside your house, they're going to follow your rules. Because you are held accountable to God for that. So they can't be in their debauchery and all this other stuff in there. You see what I mean? But it brought chaos to her house. So it wasn't long after that that the girls wanted to get married. She let them get married on her land. Uh-oh, that's a big no-no. You are saying a vow of this pervertedness on a pastor / prophet's land. No, no, no. Well, it opened the door to perversion to her. She ended up finding a boyfriend that she used to be boyfriends with years ago who is married, and he left his wife for her and they got married. She quit her ministry and to this day is not in ministry. How did that happen? She opened the door to perversion. She didn't nip it in the bud. You cannot let the devil in your house. I got another example. Young, beautiful girl. I mean, gorgeous. She was an up-and-coming, rising minister. Because back then, in 2015, I interviewed these ministers all over the country by the thousands. I was interviewing people almost every day. Sometimes I would do shows with 20 of them because I loved doing radio, you know. But she was one of them that was an up-and-coming, rising, beautiful, gorgeous worship leader. Teeny tiny, you know, teeny. Just really pretty girl. Well, she had a ministry on YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, but Facebook, that had 6,000 followers. And she was the head pastor. And what it was people, now this was back in 2015, that knew something was wrong in the church and wanted a church. And she caught on to what was happening out there, and she became the church. So she had a very loyal 6,000 people following, okay? Pretty massive. So I interviewed her about it. What is this that God is doing, you know? And she explained it's because these people are going to these churches that are perverted. You know, they're going to these churches that are, hold on just a moment. Garden of Eden Ministries, may I help you? I don't know where these people are coming from. But anyway, so they are, she said, they know that something is wrong in the churches and they need a church. And I saw the need and I fulfilled it. Okay, well, there was another man that was married that had a ministry like this. And his was only like 2,000 people. And he was on Facebook as well. So through me, they ended up connecting. That's what happens to me a lot. A lot of ministries connect through me. And so they realized, hey, we're kind of doing the same thing. Let's have a conference. So the bad thing is that the man didn't bring his wife to this conference. And she's a beautiful, single, gorgeous girl. Okay, if you know where I'm going with that. So they ended up doing the, you know, at this conference. And after I interviewed her, we became really, really good friends, you know, talking all the time and stuff. And the next thing you know, I see the biggest blow up on Facebook you ever seen. It got exposed. I don't know how they found out that they had slept together, but it was all over Facebook. And the sad thing was she was ruined because he told her that night after he slept with her, okay? He told her, he said, I want your ministry. She said, I ain't giving you my ministry. See, he did this on purpose, and I think he is the one that exposed it on Facebook or had somebody expose it. Because he wanted her 6,000 men. Y'all wouldn't believe the stuff that happens in ministry. It can be brutal. I forgot how he got by with it with his wife, but I don't know. Maybe he said she seduced him or whatever, but the wife didn't leave him. He ended up with her ministry. And so he got all the 2,000 plus, or 6,000. she was ruined. It ruined her, but it didn't him. Isn't that weird how it does with men? I don't know how it was painted that it was her fault, but whatever. Years later, 2 years later, I'm on the 2017 tour. She has been watching me, but didn't tell me she was watching me on the tour. She found out I was coming to her city, and she contacted me. And she said, I need a mama. Can you meet me? I drove an hour out of my way to meet her because I knew this girl has been beat down like a whipped puppy over this. She fell hard, see. When she walked in that restaurant, she took me to dinner, and she walked in and looked like a totally different person. The beauty she had was gone. It was, you know, you could tell she had been beat down and the glory had left her. It was really bad. And where the enemy had beat her up really bad. So she come over there and she cried and cried and cried about one mistake she made after keeping her purity all them years. And how God had risen her up so big, and how beautiful her ministry was, and all it took was that one night of deception, and it ruined her. She lost it all. And I told her, she knew I wouldn't judge her, so she's, you know, confessing all this stuff. Well, we go out to the car, and she sat on the passenger side and laid her head on my chest and cried. She needed a mama. And I rubbed her arm and just cried to the Lord for her, cried and cried and cried, prayed that God would restore her. You know, but the reason I'm telling you this is the door was open. You know, a woman should never minister to a man alone. And a man should never minister to a woman alone. Because you never know, number one, the trap of the enemy, okay? You never know. So you always want to have a third person there for your protection, okay? But all it takes is one time for the enemy to rob you blind type of deal. All right, well, that's all I have for you guys this morning. And I pray that I really blessed you. And I pray that you've enjoyed hearing my stories. But I was thinking about it this morning. I need to take all these stories and put them in a book. You know, and just do a whole nothing but a book of stories. But I don't even think they would sound the same in writing as I can tell it. You know what I mean? As I can tell it. But anyway. Okay, so that's all I have, and let me pray for everybody who's listening all over the world. Let me say a prayer. All right, Lord, I just thank you that as we've read Revelation chapter 22 today, that you reminded us, Lord, of holiness and how we have to protect the gates. We have to protect the gates and keep that crystal clear waters from the throne flowing through our temple, Lord. Thank you for reminding us today, Lord, and we humbly repent today for opening gates into our temple, Lord, that should not be opened, and the unnecessary warfare we have brought to ourselves through flirting with the devil. So we ask you, Lord, to help us to have the grace to shut those doors and shut those gates. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you cleanse every temple from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. And that you go in every room in that tree, every place with the blood, and begin to heal. Lord, go down in their roots and heal their roots, Lord, of those bitter things that happen and those those hurts and pains and trauma of the past, Lord, that you heal those roots and open them up, unclog their roots today so that the rivers of living water can flow through that tree and be able to be what you have called them to be, Lord, shining like a beautiful diamond. After you get all that clay off and all that dirt and all that junk that was attached to their tree, Lord, that you will get that removed so that their fruit will remain. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, hallelujah, Lord. Okay, I want to tell something to everybody that I forgot to tell you. Trump. There's a lot of talk about him maybe being unalived at the Super Bowl on Sunday. Now, can you believe that he is even going to the Super Bowl? How stupid is this? What in the world here? But he is going, and so is Taylor Swift. So you're talking about packed to the max going to this thing. Just yesterday, Trump released instructions in case he is assassinated. Can you believe that? And his instructions are to go to war with Iran. He's telling them he believes it's Iran that's going to do this. So what kind of setup is this? Which I am, when I get finished with this today, I'm going to go back to doing the news and, you know, try to finish all that I have from yesterday. But this is breaking news from yesterday, so we're going to have to start off with this topic. But he is preparing the world for his assassination. I told you guys 2 months ago when we was fasting, I think it was the first part of November, the guy gave me a dream that he was going to be assassinated. So, it is coming. But I'm going to tell y'all, once he is, it's over. I believe this. I believe it will be over. I believe they will take over communications and it will be Web 3. I believe the infrastructure will be done by the time they get him to that point. Because he is the one that brought it in. And whether he's raised from the dead on the third day or how this is going to happen, I don't know. But somebody else had a prophecy that him and Netanyahu would be removed at the same time or something like that. And then there'd be a great war breakout because of it. And because Netanyahu was just here. And that they saw them in a room, Trump and Netanyahu. They were still alive, and they were laughing about it. And they were saying, let them have this war, because when we come back, it will be different. So the war was a setup for their return. So I just want to tell you that just because it may not be in 3 days like we think, there's still a return coming. Even with, Jeff Byerly, that gave the prophecy that said that Trump would be removed in New York. He said he would be in New York, that a sign for us to look for would be the boat going down, the U.S. Ronald Reagan, wasn't it? That the boat would go down. Hey, Miss Stephanie, good morning. The ship would be attacked or be sunk or something, then we would know it's time. That would happen to Trump, but he would not be dead. So, it's a real thing what he's doing right now. I'm looking at it right now. Total obliteration. Trump warns and left instructions in case Iran assassinates him. So, we've got trouble on the horizon, Bride. All right, so let's move on to the next one then. Let's see, what about Mississippi? How's it going in Mississippi?
Good morning.
Good morning, young lady. You percolating?
I am percolating today. I'm working.
Is your father still percolating?
He percolating. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Yes, he's still percolating, child.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. Yeah, he's a percolating. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I enjoy your stories. It's so fascinating. Even though I've heard them several times, but each time I have anticipation.
Well,
they're great. They're great.
I'm glad y'all don't get bored.
No, no, you can't get bored. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. But yes, it's I don't know. It's a peculiar time. I don't know if I had told you. I was a part of this. I had started going to this little church. Sweet people. Sweet, sweet, sweet people. But they were just all about Trump. And they really, it was way before, I guess, during the election time, all that kind of stuff. And so I hadn't. It's been a while since I had, you know, listened in on they sometimes do Bible studies on Wednesday online on the phone. And I listened last night, and they believe Trump is just the man. And these black folks now. So I'm talking about, and one of the ladies was like, and can't nobody tell me nothing bad about Trump. And I know that he was sent here by God, and if people believe he's wicked, then they not hearing from God.
So sad, ain't it?
And I was on mute, and my husband was, he had come upstairs, and he had listened to that part. He said, what did she just? And I was like, yeah, he was like, Lord, have mercy. I said, I know. So they believe the people who don't believe that Trump is there by God is not listening. It's like it's so much confusion. Lord,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm talking about like that hard with the knees. You know how you put your knees back, you lean back in your knees, and you take out a stance, and you flat foot. That's how it was, and I was like, okay. I had taken a break from them, but I just, you know, I was thinking about it, because they're doing a teaching on the courts of heaven.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah.
No
way. They were
way.
Doing a teaching. Yeah.
What a farce.
Yes, and I was like, they're such sweet people. They really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just was. What can you, what I'm talking about, this is like, and I know right before I got there, I didn't know really what they believed in a lot of things, but they had a little, you know, they were saying some things about Trump. And there's another lady who was there, she was sweet, and she was like, you know, they're good, but I don't agree with them about that. And she had been a member of that church for a while. And apparently, she let them know privately her stance. And I don't know what type of conversation they had, but she stopped going. And so it's just that you have delusion on both sides, and it's just so sad to see.
Yeah. It really is. What I was going to tell you guys, too, about when Trump is assassinated, the ark door will be shut completely. You will not be able to make up people's minds after that point. I don't believe. Because everybody, the propaganda they will be going forth about what a savior he was. Oh, you don't even want to. I will remove my YouTube channel and all my videos at that point, if I even can. Because they will be bloodthirsty for anybody that did not support that man. I am telling you.
It's sad.
I mean, just imagine if their savior is removed. I mean, I wouldn't want to be around, man.
Yeah, and you know, because they circle back and say they know Jesus the Savior, they know Jesus, but they believe he was sent by God to be in that position.
Well, I do believe he is, but I believe it's not the way they're seeing it.
Yeah, they believe that it's good. It's like
right.
And then she also said we have 4 years of peace.
Oh, see, that's where they bought the lie.
And that's where my husband walked in. My husband walked in and was like, "What did she just say?" And I told him, he was like, "Oh my god."
That is funny.
And so I was just, and I don't know. I guess God, because I hadn't listened in weeks. But now when I, because I was actually, I think I had listened. I think the first time they're reading a book by somebody. I forget who it was. Who wrote a book about the courts of heaven, and they're going through this book.
Oh, I know that guy, Robert Henderson or whatever, yeah.
So they just finished it last night.
Mm.
And so she was like, this is the thing that needs to be taught, you know, that this is what everybody that's in the end time need to be reading and everything, and because she went to Ramp a couple of weeks, about a month ago.
Ramp Central.
Yeah. And so she said that they talked about this at Ramp as well.
Well, I'm sure they did. But let me tell y'all about the Courts of Heaven. Go ahead.
Is this NAR? Because, you know, I know NAR is a, so that's a part of NAR too, huh?
Oh, yes.
Because they never see, that's why I was, you know, when I was kind of going, and I was going for like about a year just off and on. They never said anything about the Seven Mountain Mandate and all that stuff, so they never talked about that. So that's why I was like, okay, let me just listen a little bit more. But I just know that they were really into, like, they didn't. None of the people in the church took the vaccine or nothing like that, and they stayed away from that. But but on the other end, they were just really, really pro Trump,
Yeah.
So that's what the whole teaching, I think, for the last 2 or 3 months, they've been talking about the Courts of Heaven.
Well, it's really sad because it debunks Christianity, is what it does. Because the Courts of Heaven, what they do is they teach it as a spiritual warfare tactic. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the way they approach it. You know, they say, well, there is a way that you can fight. You know, you just got to go into prayer. But what they don't tell you is what you have to do to get there. Your contemplative prayer, that is a New Age thing where you leave your body, you travel up into heaven. And then you go up there and you fight your case. So you go up there, you fight the devil in a court case. God's the judge. And then, you know, you hear the accusings of the devil against you or whatever, other people. Some of them have heard other people. And then you have a chance up there to repent or to address it to the judge. It's taking the battle into your own hands. And that is just not Jesus, because Jesus is that. You have taken the mediator right out of his role. That is his job.
Mm-hmm.
He's always up there defending your battle. So why would Jesus move out of the way and say, yeah, why don't you just astral project and leave your body and go up there into heaven and go up there and fight the devil yourself? And then, you know, can you imagine the pride that comes in people's hearts when they think that they have all this power?
That's exactly
what I have seen happen over the years. I've been with many ministers that say, I'm just going to go up in the Courts of Heaven. I'll be right back. And then they'll go off and they go into their contemplative prayers, kind of like a yoga deal where they go into this, imagining, they tell you, like, to imagine this and to, you know, get this picture in your head. And That's what it is. But see, when you understand what astral projection is, it is so witchcrafty.
It is.
Because they leave. Sometimes when people astral project and their spirits leave their body or their souls leave their body, they will get cut while they're gone. One time I had this minister. Yeah, I had this minister that said that she was in a church service and it kept being disrupted. And it was like chaos all the time. I did not realize we're still being recorded, but that's okay. You didn't say nothing out of line. But they do need to know this, though, about this story, is that they was in this service where it was just constant chaos. I mean, the pastor could not preach. Something was wrong. So he'd say, I'm going to stop, and I want everybody to pray in tongues. We're going to pray in tongues for about 5 minutes because there's too much chaos. So this happened like 3 or 4 weeks. And so the last service, he told everybody, we're going to do nothing but pray in tongues. This is just ridiculous. When they started praying in tongues and they kept going and going and going, believe this or not, this is what this woman told me. A man appeared that was floating in the air. His body met up with that and he fell from the sky. He fell from the ceiling. He had astral projected. And fed, this is what she said. I don't know. I can't verify it. I didn't see this miracle. But they stopped that witch who was in there, had astral projected in that church, and was casting spells all the time. But he ended up getting saved. But the point is that it's a very serious thing. And there's been people that's actually cut those cords and then they die. And,
yeah,
you know,
they
it's
die.
Just crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I talk about the courts of heaven in my book, you know, my judgment book. So it's not anything to play with for sure. Let me turn the recording off now that I know.